But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the surprising fact that some people are above the law. Move on to how the new guy is handling international relations, and follow all of that up with a refresher course on what the fuck a tariff is. Let's begin, shall we? Now that all of us understand that diamonds and votes are forever, we're kind of in a holding pattern until January 20th. Sure, the outgoing Dark Brandon is ending the pew-pew going on between Israel and Lebanon, a fight Israel started, by the way. And the International Criminal Court has issued an arrest warrant for the most unlikely Nazi cosplaying jackass, otherwise known as Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, for his crimes against the Palestinians. But none of that matters to the average American when 76.9 million MAGA-teers have decided our country would be a better place if it were 1965 or 1928 or even 1835 when it comes to human rights or lack thereof. And while
the suspense is terrible,
it doesn't make living through the find-out phase any easier. For example, most of us grew up being told that the bad guys always get what they deserve in the end, because no one is above the law. From Sergeant Joe Friday and the mythical John Wayne, to the countless Batman reboots Warner Brothers thinks we all need to tell a story that we all know by heart, in the end, the bad guys go to jail for justice. Unfortunately for us living in the real world, the lie detector determined that was a lie.
3.5 years since the attack on the U.S. Capitol, 17 months after Donald Trump was criminally charged by the government he once led and will lead once more, Special Counsel Jack Smith's cases against Donald Trump, well, they are coming to a close. Just this afternoon, the Special Counsel moving to dismiss the federal election case. He also asked a court to dismiss his appeal of Judge Eileen Cannon's ruling, tossing out his indictment of Trump in the classified documents case. The move was expected with Trump's election victory, since it's the Justice Department's policy that sitting presidents cannot be prosecuted. Smith writing in his filing to Judge Chutkan today, quote, "The department and the country have never faced the circumstance here where a federal indictment against a private citizen has been returned by a grand jury and a criminal prosecution is already underway when the defendant is elected president." In other words, criminal defendant Donald Trump got out of his legal troubles by getting elected president.
Ugh, motherfucker. It's not that this is a big shocker to those of us who did not vote to end America as we know it. Because for us, it's like, duh. But still, knowing for a fact, Jack Smith requested to have both the January 6th and the classified documents cases dismissed because Crimes the Clown won the golden ticket and America does not prosecute a sitting Dollar Tree dictator does not make it any easier. Not to mention the horrifying fact that the statute of limitations for inciting an insurrection and stealing hundreds of boxes of classified documents for bathroom decorations will run out in the next 4 years because some stupid fuck decided that an insurrection and espionage have a shelf life? Or as Congressman Adam Schiff profoundly explained to the MSNBC audience.
Because the status quo now is no charges against the president. Mm-hmm. Now, Jack Smith relied on the opinion of lawyers within the department who said that they thought it was required by the Constitution mm-hmm. to dismiss the case, but it isn't required by the Constitution. There's nothing that would interfere with his performance of the office, whether the case is dismissed without prejudice or merely postponed. So I think this is a serious mistake by the department. It compounds the mistake that you alluded to, which is they waited a year before they even brought this case forward or began the investigation. And then you have the Supreme Court with its immunity decision. And all of that goes against what Jack Smith said in his brief motion, which is that no one's above the law.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that is just a bedtime story the bourgeoisie love to tell the proletariat. Because in our waking life, a 34 times convicted felon who was found to be liable for rape by a court of law and incited a violent shit-smearing mob to storm the Capitol when his election fraud efforts failed is now the Orange Gourd ruling over the once shining city on a hill. So is it any wonder the Trump team has decided to break the law yet again by not signing transition documents and foregoing using the FBI to vet Fat Nixon's cabinet nominees?
The Trump transition team is racing through the picks for the new administration. Nearly all of the positions that require Senate approval have been filled, but that may not mean the transition is on schedule because the transition team has not signed the required paperwork. Cabinet choices are not getting the FBI background checks the Senate has traditionally required.
Trump's nominees have not undergone the traditional required FBI background checks ahead of Senate confirmation hearings because the Trump team still hasn't signed a necessary memo of understanding with the Justice Department.
Because when you wait a year after the insurrection and classified documents have been stolen to even begin the many years long process of bringing charges against the Lard Father, resulting in the prosecuting cases running alongside Donald's bid to be America's first dictator, they let you continue to break the law. With what we know so far about the Trump cabinet picks, there is way too much sexual assault, corporate insiders, and profoundly unqualified for the job nominees, and there is no way in hell these quacks will ever pass an FBI background check. But hey, who cares about the idiocracy that awaits us in just 7 weeks or so? When we've got 76.9 million either poorly educated or willfully ignorant people who couldn't be bothered to look up the word tariff in any search engine available to them before November 5th to thank for it. Because regardless of how many times I discuss tariffs on this show before the 2024 election, it is a fact of life that those who took a day off from high school history class because they saw Ferris Bueller do it have doomed the rest of us to repeat history circa 1830.
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the, anyone, the Great Depression, passed the, anyone, the tariff bill, the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act, which anyone raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. Did it work? Anyone know the effects? It did not work, and the United States sank deeper into the Great Depression.
And while for many of us, the Great Depression started on November 6th, 2024. History shows us that tariffs are not the answer to the U.S. government's lack of funds problem. See, ever since America's first president, George Washington, all the way down to the pumpkin spice Palpatine's first attempt at tariffs on the European Union back in 2019, which cost Americans 100% more on $7.5 billion worth of shit, because tariffs only cost consumers more for the goods they need and leave them with less money for the stuff they want to buy. And that's because...
Who collects tariffs? Well, it's actually done by Customs and Border Protection at ports of entry. Importers have to pay CBP, and that money goes to the general fund of the U.S. Which leads to, who pays tariffs? Per the CRS report, quote, U.S. importers pay the additional tariff. But also, quote, the broader question of who ultimately bears the economic burden of these higher costs onto consumers.
What did I say? Tariffs cost the customer because after the retailer pays the increase to the port, they recoup the additional cost from customers by raising prices. For a personal example, my husband had his truck inspected for issues this past summer, and the cost for the repairs came up to about $3,100. However, when my husband took his truck to the shop last week to have those same repairs done, the new and in anticipation of tariffs cost was over $4,600. Same repairs were made that were quoted over 6 months ago, but thanks to the surprisingly high number of tariff-ignorant voters in America, the cost was more than $1,500 more. But please, tell me again how the price of eggs that grocery store executives admitted to Congress they were raising themselves in the name of price gouging was all Sleepy Joe's fault, even though he dropped out of the race and was replaced by the Black and South Asian woman who had a plan to go after those same greedy corporations. You know what? Never mind. Between you and me, your stupid concerns over a woman who is in menopause having a PMS reaction to her presidential duties as an equity bridge too far, and we both know it. Meanwhile, just in time for the holidays.
President-elect Trump says he will impose 25% tariffs on day one against our neighbors Canada and Mexico.
Donald Trump declared that on day one of his new administration, I will sign all necessary documents to charge Mexico and Canada a 25% tariff on all products coming into the United States and its ridiculous open borders. This tariff will remain in effect until such time as drugs, in particular fentanyl, and all illegal aliens stop this invasion of our country.
Two countries are pushing back. Mexico's president is warning that her country could retaliate against the U.S. with tariffs of its own.
No es aceptable.
Mexico's president says tariffs are not acceptable and it would cause inflation and job losses in the U.S. and Mexico.
A dispute between the president-elect of the U.S. and Mexico's president over a phone call. Donald Trump claiming she agreed to, quote, stop migration through Mexico and into the United States. Sheinbaum responded, and the short version is never, no, not once, did she say anything of the kind. We reiterate that Mexico's position is not to close borders, but to build bridges between governments and between peoples.
Well, there goes the whole building bridges talking point when America's rapist in chief is already lying about a phone call with the Jewish Mexican woman in charge of our neighbors down south. Although, it is right on brand for a man who has a history of disrespecting women. Way to go, maggots!
Son of a bitch!
Meanwhile, our maple syrup loving friends to the north have had all their flappers gasted at the thought of a 25% tariff slapped on them over $3.6 billion worth of goods that flow between us. We're talking about lumber, petroleum, cars, and the parts that make them go zoom zoom. Fuck, we're even talking about cranberries. Not to mention oils, minerals, lime, cement, plastic, rubber, and leather products. You know, Republicans like those things. And Mexico, we're talking about more than avocados, sir. Our southern trade partners provide vegetables like tomatoes, lettuce, broccoli, cucumbers, and while also supplying auto parts, electronics, appliances, medical instruments, gems, precious metals, and beer. Now, I know you Maglodons love beer, so how about spending 25% more on a six-pack of whatever the fuck you're drinking since you boycotted Bud Light? How does that sound to you? And don't even start with the whole, we'll buy American made instead of bullshit. Saying something like that is not only stupid, it just proves that you've never made a fucking thing in your entire life. Because if you had to, you would know America does not have all the materials you might need to make anything you might use. That means even made in America is going to cost 25% more thanks to Schittler's plan to make America more unaffordable again. At least for all of us who haven't spent their entire lives coasting on a trust fund they've enriched by being a greedy and unscrupulous son of a bitch. And speaking of Nepo babies who destroy countries, our newly elected tiny-handed McGrifter has a plan to neuter the House of Representatives' power of the purse and control the government spending from his high chair in the West Wing. But hey, don't take my word for it. Here's Velveeta Voldemort to explain through his camera-ready dentures.
The president had the constitutional power to stop unnecessary spending through what is known as impoundment. If Congress provided more funding than was needed to run the government, the president could refuse to waste the extra funds. Thomas Jefferson famously used this power, as did many other presidents, until it was wrongfully curtailed by the Impoundment Control Act of 1974. Not a very good act. When I return to the White House, I will do everything I can to challenge the Impoundment Control Act in court and, if necessary, get Congress to overturn it. We will overturn it. I will then use the president's long-recognized impoundment power to squeeze the bloated federal bureaucracy for massive savings.
And just like any snake oil salesman, the orange turd sells the presidential control of America's money as passing the savings along to you. And by you, he means the billionaires he hangs out with, hoping to blend in, not the jackasses who voted for him. Because impoundment is just another way this queen of bankruptcy can save for the rich what is being spent on the poor. Things like new roads and bridges, making sure water treatment plants don't break, providing drug rehabilitation options for addicts, and even disaster relief for American farmers. Just like Tricky Dick did when he was president, all the way back in America's golden shower era. And considering how much funding for failed businesses Assholini has already pocketed over the decades, I'm sure you can easily deduce giving this douche the power of the purse isn't a financial move Chuck would approve of. But none of that will matter now that 76.9 million poorly educated voters are claiming they voted for the Big Lebowski because it's the economy, stupid, when clearly it wasn't. We've already established that 2025 is going to cost 25 to 35% more than the last 4 years, and between more cuts for the wealthy and refusing to pay bills Congress said that they would pay, this Hitler reboot is sounding more like it's got a subplot. And guess what? It's the economy, stupid.
Oh, no. No, no.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media, platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, and Facebook. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.